Good to see you all this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I tell you, there's no place I'd rather be than here with the saints. It's an awesome place to be. I didn't know what the Lord was going to bring this week. Julie always calls and asks so she can put it in the bulletin. And the Lord woke me up early again yesterday morning, and I was just pondering, and He put on my heart to bring a message about a servant's heart, and I didn't know why, because you guys are always all good servants here, and I thank the Lord that we have so many of you serving in different capacities. And the message today was to honor that. And then just before I left to come here this morning, he reminded me. He said, "Hey, you need to honor the veterans today." And I thought, well, wow, what a great message for veterans who have served our country so much and been servants in a different way than in the church. But a servant's heart, we're not just born with a servant's heart. It's something that we have to develop. And so we're going to look at some scriptures today and talk about what it is to be a servant in the church of God. I have a thing that I use, that I pray for you guys every day, and it's life-giving prayers for the church. And I actually found one that talks about servants, and it says, "Thank you for every behind-the-scenes worker who is devoted to service. Bless them for their obedience and generosity. May you receive praise as a result. Reward them for serving you humbly and wholeheartedly rather than seeking to be noticed by others." And every time I pray that, I think of all of you guys who just don't take credit for anything, but you're here doing the things that need to be done and always willing to help. And so thank the Lord for every behind-the-scenes worker here at Open Arms Christian Church. We're so blessed. We've got our worship team. We've got our Julie that does so much, Renee that helps them with a lot of different things, all of you guys that preach, the elders, they're just Sunday school teachers, you guys that serve communion and help with doing the communion meditations. There's just so many of you, and I probably forgot some, but I thank you all for serving, for being servants, for having a servant's heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all of our servants. Lord, we honor them today. We honor our veterans. Lord, we're so thankful for what they have done, for the sacrifice that they have made so that we can live in a country that is free. And Father, we ask that you'll just continue to allow us to live in spiritual freedom, where we're not molested when we gather as the church, where we don't have to wonder if we can come without molestation. But we know we can. We thank you for that. Thank you for that freedom. And Lord, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting a servant's heart in all of our people. And Father, as we look at your word today, pray that you will just speak through me, and then I'll just get out of the way and let you do what you want to do today. Meet the needs of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today in Philemon. And I don't know how many of you know where Philemon is even, but it's right before Hebrews. It's just one chapter. So there's not any Philemon 1 or 2, it's just Philemon and then the verses. So if you would turn to Philemon, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 20. It's going to be our text for today. So we'll begin with that. And this is another letter from Paul, and he's writing to Philemon. And he says, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. And this word son is actually because he brought him to the Lord. And I was looking in a study Bible, and it says that when the early Jews brought someone else to the Lord, when the Christians brought someone else to the Lord, then they adopted him as their son. So that's why Paul actually calls him a son. He was a new Christian. So he adopted him as a Christian brother, or as a son. So that's why he calls him his son here. It says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was just that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So this guy was actually a slave to Philemon, but he's been freed. He's not a slave anymore, and he's now a brother in Christ. And so slavery was something that was very prevalent in the Bible. We read all kinds of different accounts of slaves and masters in the Word of God, and that was something that was done then, and he was just as a man who was freed and is now a son of God. It says, so if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So, Paul is talking about Philemon's willingness to serve, and then also it's Onesimus, the guy that was a servant, and talking about giving back to the Lord's work. And that's one of the things that we want to do today, is honor all of you for giving back to the Lord's work. And it is a little, found a little article. It says, not long ago, two newlyweds kissed their honeymoon goodbye. It says, they also purposely did not plan a wedding reception to celebrate their union. Instead, they used the money that they would have spent on themselves to help people in each of the 50 United States. Or each of the 50 U.S. states. In Arkansas, they gave gifts to sick children. In Utah, they aided victims of domestic abuse. And in New Jersey, they donated clothing to a homeless shelter, and so on. So apparently this couple, instead of having a big wedding reception and instead of going on a honeymoon, they used the money that they would have used for that, traveled around the 50 states and did a service to somebody differently in each of the 50 states. Can you imagine what a tremendous change or sacrifice that would be? and what a difference it would make in your life to be that kind of a servant, to have that kind of a servant's heart. Well, selflessness often means letting go of comforts so we can make life better for someone else. That's what being a servant is. That's what serving in our country is. The guys that served in our country, the guys and gals that serve for the United States, they leave the comforts of home and they go where it's not comfortable at all so that we can continue to live in comfort, to make it more comfortable for someone else. As a prisoner, Paul decided it would be better to set free his helper and fellow inmate, Onesimus, than to enjoy the pleasure of their Christian fellowship. So apparently Onesimus was there in prison with Paul, and they were in prison for the gospel, for what they were doing to spread the gospel, and so somehow he was able to set him free so that he could go back to Philemon. Paul denied his own desires and did what was best for his slave friend and for his owner, Philemon. Paul led Onesimus to Jesus and called him his child in the faith. His words encourage us to let go of treasured people and possessions when necessary. Our ability to give back comes from recognizing all that we have received in and through Jesus. So that's what makes our servant's heart grow, is the need to give back in all that God has done for us. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we're going to look at verses 13 through 18. And these verses say, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage and be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas, were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas Fortunatus and Acacius arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. So that's why I wanted to recognize all that you guys do here in the church today. We're so blessed. And we were talking about in Sunday school how the Lord has brought us from just a few when Nathan resigned, to we're basically double in size from what we were when we started a couple years ago, with just the elders coming to preach and you guys stepping up and taking the servants' roles and taking care of all the other needs in the church. It's really been good, and we're thankful. We're thankful for all that you do. The guys that are preaching seem to all love it. I haven't talked to any of them that don't like what they're doing. And I love that God has been, even though we're so different in nature, he brings the messages always meshed together. And he's continuing on a theme, and that's awesome, that the way God is bringing the word and sharing, meeting the needs of the body of Christ. And so thank you guys. We recognize all that you do and we thank you for it. But be on your guard and stand firm. Let your faith grow. Be men of courage, women of courage, be strong. I like verse 14, and it's probably the one we want to remember the most today. Do everything in love. If we don't remember to do everything in love, it's probably not going to work. So as we continue to put God first and to allow Him to guide our hearts and continue to do what He wants us to do, and we'll continue to grow. So it's awesome to see new faces. We welcome all of our new families. It's good to have you guys with us. Love seeing new converts. And that's the way the church is growing. That's the way it's supposed to grow, by us going into the community and changing men and women's hearts to begin to want to serve God and want to walk with Him. And then that's when they come and join us in the church. So now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 9. And this is the sowing and reaping. And it's something that we usually use with tithing, with money, but it also has to do with serving. And that's the way I'm using it today. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You could replace that with God loves a cheerful servant. When you have something to do, don't grumble about it, but do it with joy. Enjoy what you're doing. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will also result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform, no matter what it is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So having a servant's heart, doing a service in the body of Christ, helps to meet the needs of all the people. It helps to meet all of your needs. And that's one of the reasons that we allow time at the end to pray with you, because it's a way that God can meet your needs personally. It's a way that He will come through for you if you have something that you need the body of Christ to stand with you on. But then your service, it said, overflows into many expressions of thanks to God. So because you serve in that capacity, a lot of people thank God for that. It just overflows into expressions of thanks. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So you see, it's not just monetary sharing, but sharing of your time, of what you do, of just being a servant, whether it's sweeping the floors or picking up trash, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, doing a communion meditation, whatever you do. Doesn't matter how big or how small it is, it's all important. You know, we've talked about the body having many members and all being part of the same body, and each part doesn't do its job while another part has to step in and do it. But if each part does its part, if each of us does our part, it makes the work less for someone else, and someone else doesn't have to do a whole bunch of the work. And so thank God that we have so many willing hands. We're so blessed. And in verse 14 and 15 it says, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And that gift is His Son on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Your Son to go to the cross for our sins, so that we can all walk in newness of life and have an eternity with You. Ephesians chapter 6 will be our next passage. Just back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 6, Matt shared on a little bit last week about putting on the armor. And this is something that we have to have daily, just to put on the armor of God. And so that we can stand against the enemy's schemes. So that we have some kind of an armor against that. We can't. He's there to try to kill us and destroy us. That's His job. That's what He's here for. So we have to have our armor on so that we can go. But in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 6, it says, "Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men." And if you think about it that way, if you think about it, well, I'm serving the Lord. It's not really something that I'm doing for men, but I'm doing it for God. And if you serve that way, what a blessing. But just serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not man, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So our reward is going to come from the Lord. And the word, I did not look up where this is, but the Word of God says that He is keeping an account of what we do. And that's what we'll be rewarded for when we get to heaven. Account of the things that we do. So serve wholeheartedly. As you come. And if any of you haven't found a place yet to serve, if there's something that you would like to do to fill in a spot. Anything that I can think of that we really need right now is someone to lead the youth. We're getting a lot of young people. We don't really have a youth Sunday school class. We don't have anything for them to do like on a Sunday evenings or any time. We've got quite a few young people that could really use some direction in their life. So if any of you have a heart for the youth, would like to serve in that way. I don't know how many we have, maybe 5 or 6, maybe 8 or 10. But in my experience as a youth leader, I began my young ministry as a youth leader. And I can remember that we started out with 5 in our youth group. And the thing that I stressed to them was, invite your friends. Bring them along with you to church. And after 6 months, we went from 5 to 30 because they were so adamant about bringing their friends. And these were kids from their classes. These were not Christian. They were not kids from Christians' homes, all of them, but they came, and a lot of them accepted the Lord as they came to youth group. And so don't worry about if there's only a few as you begin. But we really need somebody to lead our youth. It's youth is such a vital time in our lives. They need direction. They need guidance. They need fellowship more than anything with their peers. And so that's what I'd like to see is somebody to run with that. Somebody who's willing to spend some time at it, some prayer at it, and that would just be an awesome thing if you could. We had somebody who was willing to help in that way. In Acts 20, verse 35, it's the Lord Lord talking, it says, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I found that to be true in my own life, in the times that I've been too prideful, maybe. It's hard for me to receive something. It's hard for me to accept. And Stan has mentioned that to me. It's hard for him to accept help because he's always taking care of himself. And that's the way I was taught. That's the way I've always been. It is way more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's because that's what he said. That's the way he's made us, to help one another, to share with one another, to guide one another. And there's so many ways that you can get involved here. So if you're not involved, I would encourage you to try to get involved somewhere. That's really, really what makes us part of the church, what makes us feel at home, is by having something to do, some way to share, some way to serve. So, again, thank you for your service. Thank you for all of you who have a servant's heart, who have tried to get involved and are doing an awesome job. Thank you to you guys who preach week after week. Matt, Brad's not here today, but we're just, as elders, we're just thankful for what God is doing here, for the way that you guys have stepped up and done your part. It's just, we're blessed, and we thank God for that. So this morning, as we close, if any of you have a need, we'd love to pray with you. If there's anybody here who has never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I would invite you to do that this morning. That's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life, is to accept Jesus as Lord and let Him be Lord of your life. Begin to walk with Him wholeheartedly and build a relationship with Him. So I would invite you to do that as well this morning. So you guys got a song for us? Elders, come up. And if you have a need for prayer, just come up and we'll pray with you about anything in your life at all. Thank you.